Father, we come to you again this day, and we thank you. We thank you for the death of our soul and heart, for the day you've given to us. We thank you for these young people. And the Lord, again, what a great success it is to see the day comes after 12 years to graduate from high school. What a great success it is to go into a college for 4 years plus sometimes to graduate from there. And now we pray this service today for all of us. For all of us are graduating into something in seasons of life. And we need to have instructions from on high. Dear God, we're spiritual beings in a body of flesh that you made in such a way that we may be able to go about daily tasks on the planet Earth for the glory of God. I pray something will remind us today, no matter what age we are, that there's things that are left to be done. If God gives us another day, it's not just to build our kingdom, because we'll die one day and leave that back here. Lord, we must be promoting your kingdom, and it'll live forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 11. Now, this is a very interesting portion of Scripture when you hear the topic of my message. I want to speak to our hearts today, not only to the seniors here, because this is a day for them and also for these who have graduated from college, but for all of us. And I call this simply, after graduation, what then? After graduation, what then? How can Acts 1 show us anything in line to help us when you talk about graduation? Simply because graduation means to receive an academic degree or diploma to most people, but it also has a meaning that to range into categories or steps or stages. We're always graduating from something to something. And so you and I, who may have graduated from school, may have graduated from college, we're still graduating from step to step, from categories to categories, and you'll see why I say that. If not, you're stalemate. If you find yourself settled in a certain era, and that's where you're at, and that's life, and it's humdrum, then you're at a stalemate in life. And so this can help us all. And what the Lord is fixing to give the disciples, they've been with him 3.5 years. Now, these graduated from high school. It took 4 years to get out of high school, but it took 12 years to get out of what is known as school before you go to college. But Jesus had been walking with the disciples 3.5 years. Now, he's fixing to lead them back to heaven. They're fixing to graduate to another level. He's not going to be around anymore for them to be able to see and talk to and run to when it comes time to seek advice or even look in time of trouble. Though the Holy Spirit's coming, they're not going to be able to see the Holy Spirit. They're going to have to learn to walk with him. But they're not going to see him with a physical eye like they could with Christ for 3.5 years. And so he gives them some very specific instructions that's needed and I believe will help us even in this life now if we'll listen to what he has to say. And the scripture goes like this. It said, the former treatise have I made, as we look in the book of Acts, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, and to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I just heard this past week, someone on the television broadcast was talking about Jesus being raised from the dead. He finally found out it didn't really happen. Oh, yes, it did. It did. And here he says, not only did you have the record, but there's many infallible truths about his resurrection. It amazes to me how blind a person can be when they want to be blind. Amen. And so here again, he said, been seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, in addition, been seen of them 40 days. And there's people said, now they just had a mirage of some kind. He didn't really appear. It's something they wanted. They had a vision. No, they saw him literally for 40 days after the resurrection. He mingled among many people and taught. Some 500 saw him at one time. We know according to the book of 1 Corinthians. Verse 4, he said, he'd been assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, these 40 days, Christ is still instructing in his resurrected form, these disciples. He's telling them things about the kingdom of God and what they're going to supposed to be doing as he gives them this instruction and tells them they're going to be anointing to them on the day of Pentecost when that day should come. And so here we see in teaching them, notice, he's teaching them how, out of the scripture, even Christ in a resurrected form is still teaching them out of the scriptures, which had to be in the Old Testament mainly. When they therefore were coming together, they asked him, saying again, Lord, will thou restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. That's a very powerful statement. There are some things you will not know until it's time for God to let you know. And there's some things we'll not understand until we get to heaven. Then there's many things he wants us to know that's written. If we'll get in the book, he'll show us exactly what's to be done. Then he says, when he made this statement, there's some things again, you know, not the times of the season, the Father put in his own power. But watch this. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all those parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Interesting. They're so gay. I've probably been gazing too, and you would too, to see such a phenomenon take place. But here they are standing, still watching, maybe after he'd gone out of sight, still watching, wondering what, in amazement. And then God shows the urgency of his message to these men, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. There's an urgency for us to understand, whatever we're involved in this life, there's always a priority over that, and that's the kingdom of God to be promoted in this life. If we miss that, we will miss out when it comes to success. Now, this month represents, for me, the 51st year since I graduated and sit in a place like this. It's hard to believe that. 51 years ago, this month, when I graduated from high school. And I thought about that, and the times have gone by. An old chapter ended for me and a new chapter began. And I found life as a series, old chapters ended and new chapters beginning. This is an old chapter that's ending for these who graduated from high school. And the new chapter may be college, or may be vocation. It may be studying and working at the same time. For those in college, it's going to be a vocation of some kind. There's always an old chapter ending and a new chapter open up in one's life. I thought about it. I had finally graduated after 12 years. I bet you thought the same thing. After 12 years, I finally, would you believe it, Mom and Dad? I finally, they said, boy, I sure didn't know you were going to get through or not, amen. We have, Mother and Dad have a little bit of a nervousness sometimes when it comes to our children in school. So I finally graduated after 12 years. But now, a lot of things have happened during those 51 years I never thought would happen. And that's the way life is. We were told that we were the future of our world, and you're been told by us who were told that you're the future of our world. We understand that seemed to be the cliche that's said all the time. And by rights, it's true, but what a sad thing. When each generation goes by, they hand you a world that's worse than it was when we got it. And that's a sad situation in life. I wish someone had told me some things about the future that I was supposed to be in charge of. They didn't. And I'll tell you this, it's no ways I look back like I thought it should be or want it to be, other than the fact that being in the center of God's will, the happiest place a person can be. And I thank the Lord for that. I read where a rich rancher out in Texas, I don't know if this is true or not, but anyhow, the story goes, a rich rancher in Texas, he decided he was going to do something big for his employees. He had somewhere between 50 and 60 employees. And he's going to do something big for them. And he put on a barbecue for them. And he had something every year, and he'd give out little gifts here and there. He said, I'm going to do something spectacular this year. He said, I'm going to, I just, when we get there, I'll let them know what I'm going to do. So they had the barbecue, and he passed out a few gifts, and he said to his employee, he said, I'm going to give a large gift out that I've ever given to an employee. But I'm going to do it fairly. It's not going to be that I just give it to someone I want to give it to. I'm going to give an employee this year a BMW 3 Series convertible. But here's the thing. He had put some alligators in his swimming pool. And he said, I'm going to make a test out of this thing. He said, now the first one that jumps in this pool and swims to the other side, pretty good sized pool, swims to the other side, gets these keys to that BMW. And he watched to see who would do it. And as he looked around his pool, nobody moved. And he was looking over this way, certainly he heard a splash on this side. He looked and there's a man jumped in. And he was swimming as hard as he could. And those alligators heard him. Boy, they went to him. And he got to the other side and just got above on the bank or on the side before the alligator snapped at him and got him good fashion. And he was shaking like a leaf. And here he was just completely out of breath. And the guy ran over there, the keys in his hand, and said, well, sir, he said, you beat all I've ever said. I didn't think anyone would do. Here's the keys of that car. He said, forget the keys of the car. I want to know who pushed me in that pool. Amen. He wasn't as brave as he thought he was at that time, was he? Well, success in life is a journey. It's not a destination. And here Jesus offers some things that the apostles needed to know as they headed off into a new life without him for a while. And he gives them instructions. Jesus gives them words of comfort and encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, we have these words where the writer says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Young folks, never forget this. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has promised you that his Son, which said this and made the promise too, that he will never leave you or forsake you. I don't care what you go through, and you're going to enter into some infested ponds in life that is literally infested with alligators. They're trying to destroy you every which way you can go. And there'll be some times you won't think you've got a friend at all. Just keep in mind, God is always your friend. Amen. And you can turn to him. And he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. When he gave the Great Commission as the means for us to be used for God's glory this side of eternity. We can be safe with our Lord no matter how many alligator-infested ponds that you may encounter in your days. And there's going to be some, and that's just a metaphor to explain how life is, because there are going to be a lot of things you have to face that you never thought you'd have to face. Maybe a lot of tears shed you never thought you'd have to shed. But I want you to know this, you can be successful here and in eternity because God has laid out a plan for it. And let me give you just three quick thoughts about after graduation, what now? Things I've observed and look back over my 51 years as God led me and has led many others who identify with this, I believe. First of all, we all go through seasons of life. Life is full of seasons. When you were born as a little baby, a little season of life, and then you begin to crawl and talk, and then next thing you know, you're another little season, junior age, and next thing you became adolescence, and now you graduated from that fiction going to adulthood. Adulthood will be for a period of time. Then you'll begin to feel the age coming on. Believe me. And then finally, you're going to see middle age. You're going to go through some middle age crisis. That's a terrible time. Listen, young folks, when you get to a point, and anybody in here, if you're in a middle age crisis, don't try to bear it by yourself. It's as bad for men as it is for women. Don't think about it. A lot of times men just will not accept the fact that they're having problems. You and I, physically, sin has brought a curse to us, though we've been redeemed out from the curse as far as the new creation is concerned. This old body still will go through the different seasons of life. And sin to the body will do the same to all of us. It has no respect of person. It's not going to let up on one because of certain things. The only way we'll conquer it is through the Lord Jesus Christ as he deals with us inside of this new body, this old body. Each type of season that we go through opens up the possibility of making a difference in this world, but it's got to be with God's help. If not, we would think we'll make. I think there's a lot of people right now think they're trying to make a difference in this world, but they're doing it the wrong way. And it's leaning right into Satan's hand for the end of the age. And they don't even know it because they don't understand Scripture, don't care anything about the Scripture, don't even care anything about the God of the Scripture, and that means simply that God's plan is going to still unfold. I don't care how bad it gets, God's plan is still going to unfold. And I want to be right in the middle of that. So in this world of technology or technological change, changes come fast and changes come constantly. This will not be the end of your learning. And by the way, neither will it be anybody else in here if we stay abreast in this particular life that we're living in. Just about any skill that one learns is like to be out of date within 5 or 6 years compared to what it was 150 years ago, or even 100 years ago. 100 years ago, you learn a trade from home and a farm or something had to do with that. Now technology has moved so fast it's changed in 5, 6 years. It's out of date. I mean, today a small chip can do more than a large electronic board could do in the few years ago when I came along. I'm amazed at what we used as a manager of the switch department before God called me to preach. What we had to do in electronics compared to what can be done with a little chip today. That's how far we have come. And God has allowed man to do that in these last days because knowledge is going to increase. And that's a sign for us to have the signal that God's plan is unfolding, just like He said it would unfold in these days. When I think about this life, I think about life is a long learning process, even after high school or college. There is never a cease of learning. When you're in the first grade, graduation from high school seems a long way off, but today you've arrived. College for these college students, it seemed like when you started even 4 years, 4 years can seem a long time when you start. Then you see how fast it goes by. After graduation, things will take on a different perspective in life. Things won't be like you thought they would be. There'll be times when you'd wonder if high school or college has adequately prepared you for anything that will be expected of you in this life, infested, alligated ponds that we live in and face as far as society is concerned. It seems that the disciples were not too thrilled, as I read this, at the prospect of teaching and literally taking leadership roles among people that they never met. And so will you. You will have to face people and be involved with people you've never met. And they won't care one thing about you. You have to let God help you do what you're going to do. If not, you're going to find out that you watching these words will come true. You will end up, if God lets you live to be older, a miserable person. Because this world does not have all that's needed for you and I as spiritual beings. We need God. We need God. And He helps us through these lives as we walk. As you see here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit would descend. And He told them they're going to go in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, which is just a short time later, the Holy Spirit came and indwelled them. What do you find? The apostles settled right down in Jerusalem. Get to chapter 8 in the book of Acts, in the transition period from the Old and New Covenant, and you find God had to send persecution into the city to move the people to do what He said in getting the gospel out to the world. And the apostles were sitting right there while others went, and God allowed them to be persecuted to get them out of the city of Jerusalem to do what He had told them to do here in Acts chapter 1 in verse 11. So what I'm saying to you is, wherever we may go in our vocation, let God be first in your life. Don't begin to let vocation take over that which in turn would make God anything other than first in our lives. It's awful when we begin to look at things and don't see God working in those things for us this side of eternity. In other words, this was an order to spread the word about Jesus Christ and His ministry and His sacrifice for sin. They had only been with Him 3.5 years, but now He's leaving them to spread what they had learned for those 3.5 years. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, this was an order that He spread this message around. He told them that they could count on divine inspiration, and so can you. He told them that He could count on and He would give them the thoughts and the words necessary for whatever situation they would encounter. And what a blessing to understand. Because there's going to be some time, young folks, that you're going to be alone and think no one care. And you'll cry out to God with tears in your heart. And you'll feel the presence of God. And give that sweet peace that only He can give when there's turmoil on the inside of us as individuals. When you think about yourself, we all go through seasons of life. One after the other, accomplish something to step up, accomplish another step up. And life is a series. If you'd ever thought years ago that I'd be where I am right now behind this pulpit when I got out of high school, yeah, I'd have said it's impossible. Just impossible. My thoughts were different, even though I got saved a year after I got out of high school. And then God began to see things to take place. And my history, how the Lord has worked down through the years. I have found this out. In the season that God lets me enter into, then, number two, you're responsible for yourself, even though God's going to help you. Nobody but God, hear me, nobody but God will be looking out for you besides yourself. Now, I say that, the mother dad loves us, but you're going to be places where they're not being happy at times. I want you to understand, there are only a few teachers out of the group, though we thank God for our teachers, there are only a few teachers and professors who will be important in your life, that will do something that will cause you to remember. You'll forget a lot of in the sense of information that helped you. Most do not care that whether you show up or not in the class. It's sad, but you'd be surprised. You felt that way sometimes, I bet, too. I've been in this class, and I ain't got any recognition at all. Amen. That's something to be saying in a graduating class, ain't it? But it gets the point across. Most will not go out of their way to help you towards your goals because they're occupied themselves, and they have a lot of students. Now, I want to say this. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Mom and Dad cannot hold your hand through your career. You're going to be responsible for yourself. God will be there all the time. They can't be there. But God will be there all the time. And God wants us to respond to Him in a way which in turn will bring glory and honor to Him, and He'll help us the most at that time. You're responsible for your relationship with God and the church. Many times the church, and I have to say this, it's true, many times the church does a lousy job in helping young people in the transition from youth to adulthood. And it's going to be our one day standing before God and giving account because of that. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to church than just attending on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. There's more to the Christian life than just said, I'm a Christian. Oh, you didn't know that? As a matter of fact, your life will tell me more about who you are than your words. And that's what God teaches us. Watch for the fruit, and the fruit will bear the tree. And He tells us that, and that's for the child of God to understand how we can analyze things in this life. Many young people your age are not focused on church today. Do not forget how much God loves you. And I say that. Enjoy the world as God has made it, not the sin that Satan has caused. Because you're headed for disaster if sin makes you act a certain way against God. We need to enjoy the world as God has created it. And in turn, when He's where He ought to be, that'll be a blessed place for you and I this side of eternity. Do not forget how much God loves you. God wants you to be living with joy and not misery. Enjoy this world again. Grab as many experiences as you can because God has brought you into this world to change it and to try to make it better. But keep in mind, do not do things that you will feel uncomfortable in doing when your intuition tells you not to do it, that it's wrong. And I give you some good advice. Don't do anything you think your mother and dad would be against. If you do, it's wrong. You say, well, now, I don't know. Yes. If you feel that mom and dad would be against this, and though they're not here, it wouldn't merely matter, that's a good sign. More than likely, they've let you know there are some things that are wrong. They're not God, but they're the first one you see before you saw God. And God uses them to bring things to you and I. I'm understanding this life. God wants us to be living with joy the remainder of your life. The remainder right now, the remainder of your future is hidden from you until it happens. And then you will see the reality. And you will have to look back and see whether God has been bringing you or you've been trying to bring yourself. So we go through seasons of life. We're responsible for ourselves during those seasons. And then I want to say, don't become a statistic. We have a world full of statistics today. They say right now that 40 to 50% of graduates will be binge drinkers after graduating from high school. That's a sad thing. They say that 1 in 8 will report injuries from getting drunk. 1 in 8 will get injured. Not telling about those who may get that way and don't get injured, but 1 in 8 will get injury by being drunk. They say that 1 in 20 will have to have medical attention due to alcohol-related injuries or alcohol poisoning. They say that 150,000 plus students will drop out their first year in college due to alcohol. And I'm saying to you, you do not have to be one of those statistics. You don't have to. God gives power for us to be in control. By the way, neither do anyone else in this building. By the way, neither does anyone else who's listening by radio in just a few moments. You don't have to be one of those statistics. Learn that you do not need alcohol to get through life. But you do need God. You say, preach, why don't I? I'm trying to make a point. You do need God. So do I. So do you, you. We do need God. Because without Him, it's a hopeless case in some cases. God values you more than becoming an alcoholic or a dope addict. We all go through seasons of life. We also are responsible for ourselves with God's help. And then keep in mind, you don't have to become a run-of-the-mill statistic in life. So how does it sum up? In Christ, you're called by God to bring forth God's kingdom into this earth. I was. When I got saved September 27, 1959, so we saved 50 years this September, God began dealing with His Word in my heart through the years that my main goal in life, whatever my vocation might have been, my main goal in life is to be the vessel that God could use to bring a knowledge of His kingdom to a world that could not see Him with the physical eye. But you and I see Him through the eyes of faith. And He's real to us. As others laugh and mock and ridicule and do their best to try to damage us physically, God encourages us spiritually. And somebody says, I don't see how you go on. You got to understand that relationship. The first disciples were standing aimlessly around looking up when Jesus went up into the air. Maybe they were not sure of what to do at that time. They ought to be, because Jesus had told them what to do. Go back and wait. They didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit came. But anyhow, they were so amazed over the circumstances, they forgot almost the words that He said at this particular time. God's messenger said, why stand ye gazing here into heaven? Acts 1, verse 11. Verse 8 says, after the Holy Ghost came upon you, this is what you should be doing. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the earth. They can wait to that time, but then that's the time that they're going to this world. So I encourage you. You're not waiting now. Our gazing is looking for Him to come back. He's already gone. And what we ought to be doing every day, be a student of God's Word and let God's house be a part of your life while you go after graduation. And that should be the thing of all of us in this building today. Do not become depressed. Look and remember what Brother Ennis has said today. God is always there. Now, if you pray and He seemed to be far away, there may be something that needs to be got straightened out between you and God. And only you can do it. I can't. You know what else can do it. But when we find the channel between us vertically, between God is clean and sends word on to be for a child of God, there's a tremendous peace that He gives to us in this life. Once the graduation pomp and the ceremonies are over, the tassels removed, and the cap and gown is put up, and you walk up, you wake up looking at memories, there's going to be some things out there that you need to understand. You remember this. Brother said it to us, you and all of us here this morning. And I've learned this in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, life does at times lose its luster. Life at times loses its glamour. And I've walked by many in this church through the years now by being here as a pastor. And I've been with you when I saw life was not luster to you. There's things that happen in this life because of sin. One big thing is death. We have no promise of another day. We're just one breath away from eternity. No matter what we may think. And therefore, we need to understand There are some things in life many times that are not lusters. And we need someone to help brighten it for us, even in the very dark hour. And only God can do it. Only God can do it. We just must understand that. Always keep in mind, God does not love us because we are valuable. May I say that again? God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. There's a difference in the way you look at things. And that's something. God loved him, didn't love him. No, the fact that God loves us makes us valuable, not because we're valuable to be loved. Not a whole lot you see from his holiness in us other than his love moves over that what he sees. And he did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Love and worship him. Why? We must do it because he deserves it. You must see him in a different eye than this world presents him. If not, he's no more than a puppet to be played with. Now, I mean a puppet like a string, not a dog with four legs. He's real, and when you go to him, according to the Scriptures, he brings himself to you in a way that you can understand. And keep in mind as you love and worship him, because he deserves that in your life. Whatever your vocation is, it's going to be something that you can say, Lord, I do this, but what I do as unto you. I enjoy what I'm doing, but I do as unto you. That means I'm going to give it my all. Obedience to God, disobedience to God breeds disaster sooner or later. Satan got us pumped up to believe, no, nothing can go bad with us if we're just, you know, because we're human beings. No, disobedience to God will sooner or later breed disaster. But obedience creates opportunities. And God is willing and wanting to raise us up if we'll be used of him. God has goals for you. He has prepared a purpose and a destiny that he wants you to reach. Work hard. Never become jealous of someone else. Look to God and say, God, this is me. You know my abilities. You know what I've got. What you enhance me to do, I will do the best of my ability. Do what you do as unto the Lord. Do not be a clock watcher. Anybody can do that. All right, Clara, got 4 hours left. No. Be involved with what you're doing. Hey, God has created something for us because we have opportunities. We can be created beings. And this world needs more of that. Don't take 4 hours of work and try to make it in 8 hours. Keep in mind, that's not productivity. When you find yourself in, these are things I've learned through the years. There's no way in the world I advance as fast as I did in the corporation I was if I'd have tried to take 4 hours and make 8 out of them. I try to be created. I try my best to say, I ask a lot of questions. Sometimes people say I ask too many questions. No, that's how I learn. If I've got a man coming working for me for some reason or another in the sense of my house or repair, whatever, I'm going to ask him questions. Why? I'm paying him. Why can't I ask him questions? One fellow said, Preacher, I declare, you asked the most questions I've ever seen. I know. Because that's how I learn. I learn slow. If I don't ask questions. See, I learn slow, so if I don't ask questions, you may try to teach me something I don't want to know. If I ask the question, I want to know the answer. Amen? Amen. And that's the way it is. Don't be afraid to ask questions with things that you come up with in life. Be creative. Let me give you some idea. Put 10 hours work in 8 hours and see what your boss does. I've been there. I know. You say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can, in what I'm saying, be a worker. Be created, and God will honor that because you're honoring God. I do what I do as unto the Lord. He may benefit, or she may benefit from it, or the boss may benefit from it, but I do it as unto the Lord. And that gives me created activity. And everything I go to, finances, everything I go into is the same mode. Same mode. And I believe that's the reason of God. Many things God taught me in Cutler Hammer years ago I've used in this church. And it's working, or has been, up to now. Learn. Ask questions. I don't care if it's a repairman, an engineer, and a computer. Sometimes a radio engineer comes out. Another day I was talking, and I ask question after question after question after question after question. I'm going to ask it. Things have changed. I used to have switches this big. Now you can't even hardly see them. I worked in switches this big. Now you can't hardly see them. And they do beyond what we did years ago when I was in a managerial position in those days. I've been told, I've been told, and so would you. There's a lot of things you could have done. I've been told I'd be very rich if I hadn't gone into religion. I am rich. Not monetarily, but because who I'm serving. And I thought about it, and so will you. When you start building something, let it be for God. And the end results, it may not be nothing like this, but in the end results, God will honor you in the thing. The day will come, if you work with an employer or somewhere or another, that company will be gone in history. It'll go down in history. No one will ever know about it. You can't do nothing for God and it go down in history. You can't do it. Keep in mind. When you talk about being rich, there's nothing wrong in taking advantage of this life. And I pray that God will make so many multimillionaires. And I'm visiting your mansion someday. Amen. Swimming in your swimming pool. Without alligators. Amen. What I'm saying to you is this, though. You can be a lot richer when you have Christ. And then He blesses you with those things, and they're in the right place before God. And God can make you an Anderson. Who's a multimillionaire, who have lost $1 million or hundreds of thousands of dollars in jobs because they want to have a meeting one night, he was going to go on visitation. Not go to church, just go on visitation. And he go on visitation, lose the job, because he said God would be first. Don't find many like that. Wait until, and somebody say, well, you know, down here, what you could have. Wait till you see my new home. And same with anyone in here. Wait till we see your new home. It's not built with stuff around here. I can't imagine what God's going to build it out of. But it won't be brick and mortar. I'll tell you that. Brick and mortar don't shine through the space. But it'll be something that's going to be amazing when we get on the other side. And I want to say to you again, God loves you. Not because you're valuable. We're valuable because He loves us. And you just look in the mirror when you get home and say to yourself, God loves me if I'd be the only person on the face of the earth. And God, with your help, if you'll help me know, I'm not going to jump at everything that comes, but with your help, I'm going to ask you to help me be seasonal. Help me step in steps I need to step in. Help me, dear Father, to understand in this particular life now that I've graduated from high school or from college, now I'm going into the world. The Lord, I don't know what my abilities are that you can use, but you know, you see me now, 50 years from now, if the Lord don't come back. And even after that, if He does come back. But you see me, Lord, as I chart my course in this life in vocations that I feel desire to go into, that are right, nothing wrong with, then in that I want you to be right in the center. And then, Father, if you're in the center, then I will move in the direction that you want me to go, because I will be representing your kingdom wherever you put me in this life. And I'll trust you for it. And I'll guarantee you, your happiness, your joy will be much better than it will be without it. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior. He loves you. He died for you. You need Him. You need to trust Him. If someone listens to my radio in a few minutes, they need to trust Him. Because without Him, we're nothing. It's impossible for us to do anything without Him. Someone said, well, look at me. Hey, there's a place that God says, why we're here, and you lay up treasures, and it's in heaven. Where rust and thieves and things like that can't get to. They're valuable things. God help us to understand what He means to us because we allow Him to reveal Himself to us in this life. My Father, I thank you again for our young folks. Lord, I pray, anoint them, bless them this day. Dear Father, I pray something to be said. I know a few weeks from now this will be gone, but they're going to face crisis. They're going to face crisis. Lord, if you let them outlive their parents, they're going to be around when their parents are not here. They're going to face crisis, and there's no one can help them but you. I pray 30 years from now, if you've done me through the years, flashback to a time, maybe this day, that something was said, it registered now, but it hadn't really came into being to their mind as like it will when they experience somewhere to use it. And dear Lord, even now, information will be given to help them 30 years from now if the Lord don't come back for the church. Bless these young people, Lord. Bless them. They're headed. I guess, Lord, unless it's since the Depression, there's not another time in man's history that where young people and people in college graduated from college,
that the possibility of getting a job is so difficult because of our economy. I pray that they start out with you, finish with you, and they would look back and see how you guided them because you loved them. Let them never forget that. Let us none ever forget that this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.